Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here, letting you know that today's podcast was sponsored by Helping Hand for Relief and Development. Helping Hand is a leading Muslim nonprofit organization that has a top star rating by Charity Navigator. Over the years, I've had the privilege of working with them, and they've helped people from over 80 different countries around the world. They've worked for disaster relief and emergency relief in Palestine, Myanmar, and many other countries, Kenya, Somalia, Kashmir, Pakistan, and Haiti. To learn more and to be involved in helping the lives of other people, visit their website at hhrd.org.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your brother Hussein Kamani. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures we are always able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the opportunity for gaining immense reward by supporting our efforts is endless. You never know who will be able to benefit from your donation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, and jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa khususan ala sayyidir rusuli wa khatamil anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, we enter into a year commonly referred to as the year of delegations. This was the year in which people from across the Arabian lands begin to roll into Medina Munawwara. And it wasn't just one or two groups that came, it was representatives of so many tribes that gathered in Medina Munawwara to speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now that the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah had occurred, and the Muslim authority in the region had been established through and through, clear. The battles of Ta'if and Hunain had also occurred. Medina Munawwara was already occupied by Muslims. The tribes in between Mecca and Medina, some even further south as far as Yemen, the people of Najran, they began to seek interest and wanted to learn about Islam. And they needed to make a decision, and the decision had to be made soon. Will the Muslims be our friends, or will they be our foes? Will we take them as allies, or will they be our enemies? The famous delegation that came from Najran, which is the northern part of Yemen, they came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there were so many Christian priests amongst them. Some narrations, they say that this delegation had 40 Christian priests, and they came to discuss Islam with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They challenged Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a public debate. It wasn't the habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to engage in public debates. This is one of the very few times when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted. And it's possible the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted not only because they challenged him and it was Medina Munawwara and everyone was waiting to see what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say in return, but because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw these people were genuine, they were sincere, that these people were seeking the truth and they were respectful. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed and he said to them that I will engage with you on the condition that you will appoint one person to be your spokesperson, and I will engage with that person, not with everyone. Do we agree on this? And they said yes. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them that the discussion will be tomorrow. So the next day they came and they sat in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a large group of them. Many sahaba gathered in the masjid. They had appointed their spokesperson, and speaking on behalf of the Muslim community, Medina Munawwara, walks in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions, they described that moment when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked into the masjid for this great discussion, debate that was going to take place. They say when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into the masjid, he wore this beautiful, amazing, elegant Yemeni garment. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very carefully selected a Yemeni garment because that way there would be a sense of familiarity. And as for people who say that you're not allowed to wear, you know, garments that aren't Muslim, whatever that means, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore a Yemeni garment while Yemen at the time was not Muslim. Okay? Now we believe in garments that have Islamic morality adopted within them, that there are Islamic guidelines considered for. But as for a uniform, I'm not sure if Islam actually has one. And for many people, that's a big burst of a bubble. But nonetheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters wearing a Yemeni garment. The companions describe the exact place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat. That he came into the masjid and there was a pillar. He sat against that pillar. And that pillar where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat, while engaging with all of the delegations and even the delegation of Najran, is marked until today. If you go to Masjid al-Nabwi, at the top of the pillar, it says there in a green patch, Ustuwanatul Wufud. This is the pillar that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaned against when he would engage with the delegations. He sat down there and they began their discussion. When they would ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would close his eyes, lower his head. A little sweat would perspire on his forehead. They had no idea what was going on, but the Sahaba were smiling. Because they knew that in that moment, revelation was coming on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's as if the whole congregation, the whole group of people, witnessed Quran coming down on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the course of this debate. And in response to the debate that occurred with the people of Najran, most of Surah Ali Imran was revealed. Most of Surah Ali Imran was revealed due to this particular incident. And that's why you find a lot of Christian references in Surah Ali Imran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifying issues regarding Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam's story, and so on. Regardless, after the delegations continued to come and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in this very same year, there was something that began to cook, an incident that began to cook. And it was north of Medina Munawwara, from the region that was under the rule of the Roman Empire. The Christian Ghassanis in particular, they began to amass an army because now that Muslims had conquered Makkah Mukarramah, and they received news that all these delegations were coming into Medina Munawwara and people were building, you know, relationships with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these relationships were very political in their nature. In addition to being religious, they were becoming familiar with Islam. These people began to get a little worried. Because this region in the middle was always a region between Yemen and the Roman Empire. This region, the Arabian Peninsula in the middle, was always like a dead zone. It was managed mostly by tribes. And the good thing about a tribal system is that once you have a tribal system, it's a matter of, it's a ladder of pride. And every tribe wants to be on top, so they're going to destroy each other. So there's no threat there anymore. That every tribe will want to be on top of the other, so there will be a feud between two tribes. Every tribe needs to flex muscle. Over even a small aggression, they will flex beyond what they should have. And there's going to be mass murder. So the Romans, for the most part, didn't feel that the Arabian Peninsula was a matter of a threat for them. Now comes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he conquers Makkah Mukarramah, one of the first things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in his lecture is that all of these claims of tribalism from Jahiliyyah have effectively come to an end. No more. It won't happen anymore. Your tribes mean nothing. All that matters now is your piety, the state of your heart, what kind of person you are. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leveled the field. So now we have this this system being created, and in this system there is equality and there is a single leader that isn't ruling because of his tribe, rather it's legitimate leadership. The Romans became threatened. And news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they were amassing an army to attack the Muslims. And when they march with this army, they will start with Medina Munawwara and then they will walk through the entire Arabian Peninsula and wipe everyone off. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want to wait and be attacked. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions to prepare themselves for a trip for war. the companions began to prepare themselves. Now, keep in mind that this particular trip is the only time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a common call to jihad. This is the only expedition where everyone was told they need to go. All the men in society. Whether you were young, whether you were old, everyone was told you need to get together. Whether you were poor, whether you were rich, everyone had to come. So this is what we call nafir am, that there's a common call that everyone needs to join. Now the problem with this, not the problem, but the challenge with this expedition was that it came at a very tough time. The summer was at its peak. Traveling in the summer was a very bad idea, and in particular through the deserts of Arabia, even worse. And not only that, it was getting ready to hit the peak of their agricultural season, which means their dates were going to be ready, and if they were gone, who would harvest their dates? So this became a big problem for them. Many of the munafiqun, hypocrites, began to present excuses to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we can't come, it's too hot. Doesn't the Quran say that we're not supposed to destroy ourselves? And if we travel in the heat, aren't we going to die? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them in the Quran. وَقَالُوا لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرًّا. That they say that there is no benefit in traveling in the heat, we're going to die. Tell them the fire of hell is more hot. Its heat is more severe and it'll even grab you even more. That you can't run away from. That you won't be able to present your excuses there on the Day of Judgment. So people began to... The hypocrites had made their mind clear that we are not going. And they did a good job at creating excuses and planning out how we're going to stay behind. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that the number of people who would participate in this battle would be more than any other battle. And all in all, at the end, there were 30,000 people who participated in the Battle of Tabuk. How many? 30,000. Makkah Mukarramah, by the way, was 10. And now we have 30,000. Now the issue was that the destination wasn't nearby. It was very far. It was Tabuk. Very far. And in order to get everyone there in this heat, through this journey, they needed to have the means to take this journey on, which involved having proper food and having proper animals to travel on and having everything in place. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu himself, he says that I had a camel and I was with the companions as we were traveling to Tabuk and my animal died on the way. And it was such a tough journey that I then fulfilled the remaining part of the journey on foot until I arrived in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, when I arrived in Tabuk on foot, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at me and he smiled at me. And he said to me, Abu Dharr, you will live alone and you will die alone too. And Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu smiled at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And later on, towards the end of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu's life, he moved outside of Medina Munawwara, and when he passed away, the only person by his side was his wife. And she cried because she didn't have anyone to read his janazah and she didn't have anyone to help him bury her, help her bury him. So she went to the road and she stood there and she waited for someone to pass by. And as soon as she stood there, not too long after that, there was a caravan passing by of people that were returning from Iraq to Medina Munawwara. She rushed to them and said, my husband has just passed away, I need assistance. And there was a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was there. He asked, who is your husband? And she said, Jundub ibn Junada, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. So the great companion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, started crying. And he said, I remember the day that we were in Tabuk and the Prophet said to your husband that you will live alive and you will die alone. You will live alone and you will die alone too. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu then went and took care of his burial and also led his janazah prayer. This was a big struggle. Like his animal died on the way there because of the terrain and how difficult it was and how hot it was during this trip. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam started a sponsorship/fundraising campaign. And the idea was, we need everyone to donate as much as they can, because we have an army that we to transport from Medina Munawwara to Tabuk, the numbers of which we have never seen before. So the resources are going to be, the resources required to make this journey happen will need to be equivalently large. The Prophet ﷺ told the companions, bring what you can. And the companions, they went to their homes and they pulled out their wealth and they lined up outside the masjid and they came into the masjid one by one, presenting their sadaqat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their charity to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The famous story, Umar radiallahu anhu stood in line and he had so much with him. At this point in his life, he was doing well financially and he said, I have wealth, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called us to give, and today I'm going to give. And he came with half of his wealth, 50% of his wealth. Think of that for a moment. How much is that? And he walks in with this wealth and he's thinking to himself, today I'm going to outdo Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr always beats me. Today he's not going to beat me. Umar radiallahu anhu, he looks down in the line and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is behind him and he's carrying a small amount of wealth. And Umar radiallahu anhu has this large amount. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he presents his wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the amount of wealth and said, Umar, how much of your wealth did you bring? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I brought to you half of my wealth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled at him and made dua for him. Umar radiallahu anhu then stood next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he wanted that moment of victory. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was coming in line. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu comes to the front, and when he comes there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the small amount that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu presented and asked him, Abu Bakr, what did you leave at home? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, I've left nothing at home. I've left behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Rasulullah at home. We'll make do. This isn't our first rodeo. We've made sacrifices for you and this deen many times before. And that day Umar radiallahu anhu lowered his head again. And he realized that Abu Bakr was a man that just couldn't be defeated. It wasn't that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu presented more wealth in terms of quantity, but it was the quality of his sadaqah. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had to interact with anything in relation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never went half in, he was always all in. Because this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no need to keep anything at home if, on the other hand, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was this man's. And Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar radiallahu anhu, spent the rest of his life trying to catch up to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Even during Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's khilafah, there's a story. The sanad of the story is somewhat questionable, but it's still an interesting story. That during the khilafah of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu thought to himself that he's been ahead of me my entire life, became Muslim before me, did hijrah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, too many accolades. So now that he's Khalifa, he's occupied, he's busy with taking care of people, I don't have those responsibilities, so I have more time on my hands, and I'm going to outdo him now. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, what can I do that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu definitely isn't doing? And he began to search for an opportunity of khidmah, and he came to know of a lady outside Medina Munawwara who was blind. And he thought to himself, there's an old lady, she lives there, she's blind. I'll go to her and I'll do her khidmah. Umar radiallahu anhu went to this lady. And early in the morning, and he came to her and he asked her, may I fill up your water? May I take your buckets and go fill up the water from the well and bring it to you? And she said, it's been done. And he asked her, may I clean your home? She said, it's been done. And he asked her a few things. Can I do this for you? Do that for you? She said, it's been done. It's been done. And when he asked her, who is doing all of this? She said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Khalifatul Rasulullah. Even though he wasn't known as Amir al-Mu'mineen, he carried that position nonetheless. Khalifatul Rasulullah, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And that's the day that Umar radiallahu anhu said again, that no matter how much I try to do good, he's always ahead of me. And there are many examples. Once Umar radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, one of the first statements he said, Rahimallahu Aba Bakr, لَقَدْ تَعِبَ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ. May Allah's mercy be upon Abu Bakr. He's made the pathway of catching up to him impossible. تَعِبَ means to exhaust. Man ba'adahu, those who come after him. Meaning the people after him are going to have to, there's no way they can catch up to this great man. Khair. Now, it wasn't only Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu who contributed, many companions came. The famous story, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu was sitting in the gathering. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was presented with sadaqat of the people, all of the wealth was gathered, the line had come to an end. But the number of soldiers that still needed sponsoring to make this journey happen was still outstanding. There were still so many more people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked that, is there anyone who is willing to give more? And everyone was quiet. No one said anything. The Prophet asked again, is there anyone who gives more? Anyone who wants to give more? And Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu raised his hand and said, O Messenger of Allah, I will. 100 loaded camels. And then another 100 loaded camels. And every time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask and no one would say anything, he would raise his hands and he would raise his hands. And the narrations say that he ended up sponsoring 1/3 of the army. 10,000 people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, Uthman, you didn't let my call go empty. Every time I called, you answered. And that sacrifice, that love for you to sacrifice your wealth and to take care and respect my call is so valuable, it's so important to me, that after this day, whatever you do, your Jannah is guaranteed. And what a day for Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions began to head towards Tabuk. On the way to Tabuk, they passed by a place known as Hijr. Just today we covered this narration as well. As before I came to class, just today at the seminary we covered the narration regarding Hijr. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing through Hijr. And when he was there, he said to the companions, lower your heads and walk quickly through here. Because Allah's punishment came upon the people of Thamud here. And we should pass by crying and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. The Hijr, that place that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lowered his head and cried, because this was a land that at one point in human history, Allah's punishment came down. This was not a touristic place. This is not a place to come take selfies and take pictures. This is a place that when you go, you should have fear and hope of Allah in your heart. And I remember one of my teachers, he used to say to me, Sheikh Yusuf, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy upon him. He had to go grocery shopping one time. Towards the end of my studies, I had access to a car. And the Sheikh unfortunately had a shoulder injury, so he wasn't able to drive his car. So I was given the honor of being a driver for the Sheikh during that 1 year. I spent a lot of time taking the Sheikh to his doctor appointments and sitting with him. And a lot of interesting, fascinating conversations. Amazing. Some of the most powerful, beautiful conversations of my life. So one day he said to me that I need to go grocery shopping. So I said, okay, let's go. So I went shopping with the Sheikh, and that was the only time in my life I ever went shopping with this grand muhaddith, Sheikh Yusuf rahimahullah. And when he walked into the grocery store, there was this presence that he carried with him, because you're looking at the people around, and then you look at him and you think to yourself, what a blessing that we have people of this caliber alive in the dunya. Anyway, we walked through the grocery store. I have so many stories just related to that grocery trip, by the way. So many lessons I learned that day just from that grocery trip. I can almost write a small little booklet on the lessons that I learned from that grocery trip. But another day. When we were walking, he said to me, Hussein, there is a particular item that I need to get. He said the item's name. And he said, see if you can find where it is. So I looked over the aisles, one of the benefits of having height. I looked over the aisles and I spotted the sign for it. And I said, Sheikh, it's over there. So rather than cutting through the aisle that was in front of us, he went around two aisles and then went to the front of the store and walked backwards to that place. So I asked him, I said, Sheikh, why did you walk around when we could have easily cut through? And at that point he said to me, Hussein, those were aisles where alcohol was being sold. They're selling alcohol there. And he said, those places are so maghboob and so disliked to Allah that the punishment of Allah can descend there any moment. So even when we walk in stores, we don't walk through those aisles. We stay away from them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, فَاجْتَنِيبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, that you must avoid it. So not only will we avoid its consumption, but we will also avoid proximity to a place. How many times have we walked through these aisles at grocery stores and never thought of it? And I'm not saying this is a fiqhi ruling. I'm not saying halal haram here, clearly. Okay? But it's just the consideration. And how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is passing by this area of Thamud, and he's saying that Allah's punishment came down here. How can we come here for, you know, just passing by and enjoying ourselves? This is something that we should rush through, a place that we should rush through. It was on the way to Tabuk that the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah Dhul Bajadain radiallahu ta'ala an, passed away. He was a companion who made great sacrifice for the deen. He accepted Islam, he kept it a secret, his family found out, this is the early days. When he accepts Islam, his family finds out, and they beat him. They beat him and beat him, and they tell him to leave Islam. He says, no, I won't. And then finally his father kicks him out of the house and actually takes all of his garments off and sends him in the streets unclothed. That you can't even wear the garments that we gave you. And this man enters into the streets without any garments on, nowhere to go, beaten up. And the only thought in his mind is that if there's somewhere that I need to go to find peace, to find, you know, refuge, to find a home after being kicked out today, I need to get to Medina Munawwara. I need to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only thought in his mind. And right when he's getting ready to head out unclothed, his mother comes from behind. She takes off her scarf and gives it to him and says, cover yourself. And he took that scarf and ripped it into two. Hence, Dhul Bajadain. And he tied one around his lower half of the body and one across the upper half of his body. He arrives in Medina Munawwara. Nabiyyuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him standing outside the masjid and he's crying and he's in tears. And the Prophet calls him in and says, what happened? And he says, O Messenger of Allah, it's been a rough day. And he shares his story with the Prophet, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calms him down. His sacrifices were such that he became someone very close to the Prophet. There's a hadith, if I remember correctly, in Tirmidhi, that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking at night with another companion, and as they were walking, there was a person praying salah, and he was very loud in his salah. So the companion that was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, maybe that guy is showing off. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go check who it is. So that sahabi went and checked and he saw it was Abdullah Dhul Bajadain. He came back and told the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, that's who's praying. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is not one who shows off. He's made too much sacrifice for the deen. I know this man's sincerity. He's not a murai, he's not one who shows off. On the journey, his health began to deteriorate. And he became very sick. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached him. And he took his head and placed it in his own blessed lap. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stroked his head as the final moments of his life approached. And he passed away in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when he passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into the grave himself to lower his body. There are only six people in history for who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the grave himself. He is one of them. That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into the grave and he tucked this companion into his grave with his own blessed hands. The sahaba that were in the gathering, they said, we stood there just thinking that only if we were the lucky ones to be buried with the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of my teachers, when he shared this story, he said a line of poetry to us. And I'll share this poetry. It's an Urdu line of poetry. He said, it's slipping my mind. The translation to the line of poetry, he said that that, O Messenger of Allah, for nikal jaye dam tere qadmon ke niche yahi dil ki hasrat yahi aarzu hai تیری معراج کے تو لوح و قلم تک پہنچا, میری معراج کے میں تیرے قدموں تک پہنچا. دس از دا لائن. ہی سیڈ نکل جا یہ دم تیرے قدموں کے نیچے. That I die while I lie at your feet, O Messenger of Allah. یہی دل کی حسرت, یہی آرزو ہے. This is all I desire, this is all I dream of. تیری معراج کے تو لوح و قلم تک پہنچا. When Allah decided to honor you with معراج, He took you in elevation to the عرش. میری معراج کے میں تیرے قدموں تک پہنچا. And when Allah wanted to honor me, there was no need for elevation. He just dropped me at your feet, O Messenger of Allah. The day I met you was the most honorable day of my life. Our Sheikh, he shared this line of poetry when he shared the story of Abdullah Dhul Bajadin. Radiallahu ta'ala an. Now when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on this trip, because there were so many people traveling, this was one of the few trips that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not appoint anyone to take register of who did attend and who didn't attend. They just said, we're going, because it was such a large number, managing this many people would be difficult. They went. When they arrived in Tabuk, the Romans were a no-show. The Muslims sat there, they waited, they stayed for a lengthy period, and then they returned back to Medina Munawwara. When they returned back to Medina Munawwara, there were people who began to approach Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they started presenting their excuses of why they didn't attend. There was one particular companion by the name of Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu. He was one of the people who didn't participate in the Battle of Tabuk. Why didn't he participate in the Battle of Tabuk? What was the cause? He shares the narration himself. And this is a very beautiful narration, it's a long one. But I want to cover it with you guys so we can go through the story of Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu. And I feel that the story of Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu will be one that will allow many of us to connect and kind of bond with this experience of Ka'b bin Malik and his sort of conundrum and his complex situation that he was in. And how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with this situation. So his son Abdullah bin Ka'b bin Malik, he narrates a story. And وَكَانَ قَائِدَ كَعْبٍ مِّن بَنِيهِ حِينَ عَمِيَ. When Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu became old and blind, it was his son Abdullah who would carry him, who would walk him around the streets, the Qa'id. He was the one that would help him travel from get to point A to point B when he lost his eyesight. He says that my father shared the story with us regarding why he didn't participate in the Battle of Tabuk and what happened when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned and that whole conversation. Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, لم أتخلف عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة غزاها قط إلا في غزوة تبوك. There was never an expedition, a journey, a battle that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on that I did not participate in except for the battle of Tabuk. غير أني قد تخلفت في غزوة بدر ولم يعاتب أحد تخلف عنه إنما خرج صلى الله عليه وسلم والمسلمون يريدون عير قريش حتى جمع الله بينهم وبين عدوهم على غير ميعاد. He says the only battle other than Tabuk I could not participate in. And the reason was because the Muslims actually went to the Battle of Badr to prevent a caravan, and then the battle transpired from there. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, the people who did not participate in the Battle of Badr, there was no reprimanding and they were not held accountable. لقد شهدت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة العقبة تواثقنا على الإسلام. He said, I was there when the group of Muslims from Medina Munawwara took allegiance at the hands of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم before the Prophet did Hijrah, during the days of Hajj, in this Aqaba Valley. I was there that day. And I was also from the people who gave allegiance to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكان من خبري حين تخلفت عن رسول الله في غزوة تبوك أني لم أكن قط أقوى ولا أيسر مني حين تخلفت عنه في تلك الغزوة والله ما جمعت قبلها راحلتين قط حتى جمعتهما في تلك الغزوة. He says that, why did I stay behind from this battle? One thing clear, it was not due to financial reasons. There was never a time in my life where I was more wealthy financially than that time. That was a time when the Muslims were heading out for Tabuk, that not only did I have one animal, but I had two available to me. So he makes it very clear, he's being honest here, that it wasn't a matter of financial sort of restriction that I was prevented from joining Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, however, what happened was that as the first thing he says is, وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَثِيرٌ وَلَا يَجْمَعُهُمْ كِتَابٌ حَافِظٌ يُرِيدُونَ بِذَلِكَ الدِّيوَانِ. He says that there were so many Muslims traveling, and there was no one taking account of the names of who was joining and who wasn't joining. قَالَ كَعْبٌ. So Ka'b says, فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتَغَيَّبَ إِلَّا ظَنَّ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ سَيَخْفَى بِهِ مَا لَمْ يَنزِلْ فِيهِ وَحْيٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ. So it became very clear to people that if you wanted to stay behind from the battle, you can easily do so, since no one was taking list of the names. You would just secretly stay behind. 30,000 people, there's no way he's going to notice you're missing. They'll come back. The only way he could know if you weren't in the battle is if verses of the Qur'an were revealed. And then you think to yourself, what are the chances verses of the Qur'an will be revealed regarding a person who won't go to the battle?
وغزا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تلك الغزوة حين طابت الثمار.
He says, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم decided to go on this journey at a time when the fruits were getting ripe. So that was also in our heart too. He says that I thought to myself, you know what, the Muslims are getting ready, I'll get ready too. He procrastinated. That instead of getting ready today, I'll gather all my belongings and get ready for this trip tomorrow. Tomorrow came, he said, it's very easy for me, I already own everything, I already have the animal, I just have to put these things together, then I'll go. He pushed it off another day. He pushed it off a third day. The Muslims started leaving Medina Munawwara. He said, I told myself, I'll get ready, it's okay. And these guys went. Then he told himself, you know, they're probably not too far away, I'll catch up with them in a day or two. And he kept delaying it until it hit him that they were far gone. And he says in his own words, فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يَتَمَادَى بِي حَتَّى أَسْرَعُوا وَتَفَارَتَ الْغَزُ فَهَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَرْتَحِلَ فَأَدْرِكَهُمْ. He says that I told myself I can easily catch up. It won't be difficult for me. يَا لَيْتَنِي فَعَلْتُ. Only if I had done it that day. Only if that day when I thought that I can catch up to them, I would have just packed my bags and gone. But he says, ثُمَّ لَمْ يُقَدَّرْ ذَلِكَ لِي. But it wasn't written for me. And I did not join them. The Muslims went. They traveled all the way to Tabuk. وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْنِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى بَلَغَ تَبُوكُ. No one mentioned me on that journey until finally they arrived at Tabuk. Once they arrived at Tabuk, فَقَالَ وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ فِي الْقَوْمِ. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم was sitting with some companions and he said, مَا فَعَلَ كَعْبُ بْنُ مَالِكِ. I don't see كَعْبُ بْنُ مَالِكِ. You know, when there are so many people and you think there's no way that you're going to be noticed missing, and that's exactly what happens. And you think there's so many students in the class, there's no way the sheikh's going to realize I'm missing. And then the sheikh goes to the attendants and he sees you're missing and he says, where is this person? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped there and he said, مَا فَعَلَ كَعْبُ بْنُ مَالِكِ. Where is كَعْبُ بْنُ مَالِكِ? So فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّن بَنِي سَلْمَى. He said, a man from Banu Salma said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ حَبَسَهُ بُرْدَهُ وَالنَّظْرُ فِي عِتْفِيهِ. O Messenger of Allah, he is busy because he is engaged with his luxuries and his wealth. He said this. فَقَالَ مُعَاذُ بْنُ جَبَلْ بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتُ. مُعَاذُ بْنُ جَبَلْ رضي الله عنه spoke up in defense of كَعْبَ بْنُ مَالِكِ. And he said, what a horrible thing you just said. وَاللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. O Messenger of Allah, we've only known this man to be a good person. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about him. Because he was special. You don't notice people in a gathering if they're distant from you, if you don't have a relationship with them. But since he was a senior and he participated by the side of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all of these great expeditions, and he was with the people who took allegiance at the hands of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that group of Ansar prior to migration, he was special. So once Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said this, فَسَكَتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went silent. He didn't say anything.
Ka'b bin Malik says, فَلَمَّا قِيلَ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ قَدْ أَضَلَّ قَادِمًا. He said, it was said in Medina Munawwara, the Muslim army is returning back. And I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was coming back. تَفِقْتُ أَنْ أَتَذَكَّرُ الْكَذِبُ. The thought came to my mind that I should lie to him. He's going to ask, where were you? And I thought I'll lie. وَأَقُولُ بِمَا أَخْرُجُ مِنْ سَخَطِهِ غَدًا وَأَسْتَعِينُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ بِكُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ مِنْ أَهْلِي. That I will say something to him tomorrow, when he asks me where you were, that'll get me out of the situation of him being angry at me, and I'll find some way to convince him otherwise. However, he says, when the news arrived that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was outside Medina and he would be entering soon, زَاحَ عَنِّي الْبَاطِلُ حَتَّى عَرَفْتُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَنْجُ مِنْهُ بِشَيْءٍ أَبَدًا. I realized that lying wouldn't work. There was nothing that I can do that would prevent me from facing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after not joining him. He says, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, جاءه المخلفون يعتذرون إليه ويحلفون له. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into the masjid and he sat down. And all the people who didn't participate, they began to show their faces one by one. And they started taking oaths that we were this, we were that. You know, I promised I was going to do it, but then I fell asleep. You know how kids make excuses? Sometimes even adult students make excuses that I was going to come, and then my alarm stopped working. My phone died. You know, I was going to write the paper, but I snapped my wrist. So people make excuses. So they all started presenting their excuses one by one. When we were in madrasa, students would present excuses to the teachers for not learning their sabak. And oh gosh, they were funny. There were some really funny excuses. But I won't go into it. He says, وَكَانُوا بِضْعًا وَثَمَانِينَ رَجُلًا. 80 people came in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 80 of them, and they presented their excuses. فَقَبِلَ مِنْهُمْ عَلَانِيَتَهُمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted their excuses at face value. وَبَايَعَهُمْ. And he took bay'ah from them, allegiance. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمْ وَوَكَّلَ صَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He then repented to Allah on their behalf and left their internal affair of what the truth was to Allah. These people had lied to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the Prophet of Allah didn't investigate. He let them go. حَتَّى جِئْتُ. Until I came. He said, I sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَمَّا سَلَّمْتُمْ تَبَسَّمَ تَبَسُّمَ الْمُغْضَبُ. When I sat in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I said salam to him. He smiled at me, but the smile was of someone that was angry. He wasn't happy with me. ثُمَّ قَالَ تَعَالَ. Come close. فَجِئْتُ أَمْشِي حَتَّى جَلَسْتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. I came close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until I sat right in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ لِي مَا خَلَّفَكَ. He said to me, Ka'b, why didn't you join? Why weren't you there? أَلَمْ تَكُنْ قَدْ إِبْتَعْتَ ظَهْرَكَ. Didn't you already own your animal? قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنِّي وَاللَّهِ لَوْ جَلَسْتُ عِنْدَ غَيْرِكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا لَرَأَيْتُ أَنِّي سَأَخْرُجْ مِنْ سَخَتِهِ بِعُذْرٍ لَقَدْ أُعْتِيتُ جَدَلًا وَلَكِنَّنِي وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ لَإِنْ حَدَّثْتُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيثَ كَذِبٍ تَرْضَى بِهِ عَنِّي لَيُوشِكَنَّ اللَّهُ يُسْخِطُ عَلَيَّ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, the truth is, if I was sitting in front of anyone else in the world today, I would lie in front of them and get away. لَقَدْ أُعْتِيتُ جَدَلًا. I know how to argue. I know how to present a case. I have those lawyer genes. However, if I lie to you today, Allah will be angry with me tomorrow. But if I speak the truth to you today, I have hope that Allah will be happy with me in the hereafter. وَاللَّهِ مَا كَانَ لِي مِنْ عُذْرٍ. No excuse at all. I plead guilty. وَاللَّهِ مَا كُنْتُ قَدْتُ أَقْوَى وَلَا أَيْسَرَ مِنِّي حِينَ تَخَلَّفْتُ عَنْكَ. O Messenger of Allah,
I was never more worthy to join you than the day I stayed behind. I have no excuse at all. And this is a lesson for us. Sometimes you're in a situation and you know you can lie and the person in front of you will never know. They'll have no idea that you lied to them. But the question is, in that moment, if you go after pleasing that person, you put at risk your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or in that moment, you can be honest with that person, bring on the heat and take on whatever it is that you're going to be held accountable for and face the brunt of it in the dunya, but know that you can say to Allah on the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah, I had the chance to lie to my mom, to my father, to the officer, to the insurance agent, I could have lied to the hospital, but I didn't. I didn't. Because I knew that I had to stand in front of you too one day. And this is the lesson of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Lying has become a part of the fabric of the Muslim community, unfortunately. Many of us lie so frequently and so fluently that even we have begun to believe in our own lies. We've fooled ourselves. And there is no lie greater than that one. We don't even notice we lie anymore. We view them as small lies. When in reality, we may be able to fool people, but there's no fooling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ka'b ibn Malik speaks the truth. قَالَ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ He says, I sat there waiting for the Prophet to say something. Finally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, and he said, أَمَّا هَذَا فَقَدْ صَدَقَ This man has spoken the truth. فَقُمْ حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ فِيكَ Leave now. Allah will decide your affair. No yes, no no, no hug, no smile of the Prophet, no hug from the Prophet, قُمْ Leave. Allah will deal with your affair. He says, I left that gathering. Imagine how heavy his heart must have been. That the one who was known for forgiveness, who forgave everyone in Mecca, today he turned me away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, one of my teachers, Sheikh Hashim, he used to say, Allah's mercy be upon our companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them through difficult moments and they sacrificed their honor so we could learn from them. And our Sheikh Hashim would cry in class and he would say, Hamare sahaba chor nahi the. Our sahaba weren't people who stole. That's not who they were. Neither were our companions ones who committed zina. Our companions weren't liars. Our companions were the best people. But Allah made them do these things so we, the sinners, would know how to deal with situations of sin. La ilaha illallah. And when I read the story of Ka'b ibn Malik, I think to myself that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the lesson of lying. And I'm sorry, the lesson of abandoning the ummah when the ummah needs you. That lesson of abandonment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this lesson to Ka'b ibn Malik, not because he was someone who had abandoned. He himself says, and wasn't in my nature to do this. But it just happened. Because there would be people who would come later on, they would need this lesson. And when I read the story, tears come to my eyes. I kid you not, because I think of how difficult it was for Ka'b ibn Malik. And in reality, that lesson was for us. That be careful of abandoning the deen when you're called to the deen. When you're called to duty, you stand up and you go. You don't make excuses. Making excuses is what the nafs does. You should not give in to your nafs. If you find yourself making excuses every time you do something wrong, you need to know that at this point in your life, your nafs owns you. It owns you. You don't stand in front of your nafs at all. Your inner lower self controls you. A true person, a strong person, is able to look at their nafs and say, you don't own me. What I did wrong was wrong because I was the one who was guilty. It's not anyone else's fault. It's my fault.
We come back to the story. So he says, I left the gathering. When I left the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sara rijalum min bani Salama, a group of Banu Salama, they came to me and they said that we've never seen you commit a sin before this before. Why didn't you just present an excuse like everyone else did? Look at you being all truthful. You should have just made an excuse up. Those munafiqun did it. You should have done it too. And you wouldn't have got yourself caught into this situation. Ka'b bin Malik, by the way, in this narration, has all cards on the deck and he's very honest. He says, when they said this to me, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا زَالُوا يُؤَنِّبُونَنِي. They kept telling me again and again, do it, go back to the Prophet and just make up some story. حَتَّى أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَرْجِعَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَأَكْذِبْ نَفْسِي. I thought to myself, let me go back and tell the Prophet that I actually lied, this is what happened, and make up some silly story. The thought came to my mind. He said, right when I was thinking that, I asked the people, that was I the only one who was truthful to the Prophet? Did everyone else lie? They said, no, there are two more people who spoke the truth. They said, who are they? He said, they're Rabi' al-Amri and Hilal bin Umayyah al-Waqifi. These are the two people. So he said, when I heard their names, it gave me peace knowing that I wasn't the only one who would have to go through whatever punishment was ahead. We would all go through it together. We were waiting and waiting for what the verdict was regarding us. فَنَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ كَلَامِنَا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told everyone to boycott us. No one was allowed to talk to us anymore. فَاجْتَنَبَ النَّاسِ. People started avoiding us. Yes. حَتَّى تَذَكَّرْتُ لِي فِي نَفْسِ الْأَرْضِ وَمَا هِيَ بِالْأَرْضِ الَّتِي عَارِفِ. He said, I began to notice that the world that I lived in was a world that I no longer recognized because no one was talking to me anymore. فَلَبِثْنَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ خَمْسِينَ لَيْلَةً. This remained for 50 nights. No one spoke to us in Medina Munawwara. فَأَمَّا صَاحِبَايَ فَاسْتَكَانَا وَقَعَدَا فِي بُيُوتِهِمَا يَبْكِيَانِ. As for the other two, Ka'ab and Murara, by the way, if you ever want to remember their names, Hilal and Murara, if you ever want to remember their names, our Sheikh used to tell us an acronym. He used to say the acronym of their names is Makkah. Meme for Murara, Ka'ab for Ka'ab bin Malik, and Hafur Hilal. That's the acronym. So he says the other two, they stayed at home and they cried their way through the 50 nights. He said, however, me, wa amma ana, as for me, I couldn't stay at home. Ashabba al-qawm wa ajladuhum, I was young, I was strong. Fakuntu akhruj fa ashhad as-salaam al-muslimin. I said, even if they're going to boycott me, I'm not going to leave them. I would go to the masjid. And I would pray salah with everyone. وَأَطُوفُ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. I would go to the markets, walk around. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُنِي أَحَدٍ. But no one spoke to me. Everyone turned their face away. وَآتِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَأُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْهِ. I would come and sit next to the Prophet and give him my salam. وَهُوَ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. While he would be sitting in his position after salah, after the salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would sit. He said, I would give salam to the Prophet while the Prophet would be sitting there after salah. فَأَقُولُ فِي نَفْسِي هَلْ حَرَّكَ شَفَتَيْهِ بِرَدِّ السَّلَامِ أَمْ لَا. I used to sit there and think to myself, maybe he moved his lips and maybe he gave salam back to me. But there was no salam from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is a Bukhari narration, by the way. ثُمَّ أُصَلِّي قَرِيبًا مِّنْهُ. Then he said, I started praying next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the sunan and nawafil. وَأُسَارِقُهُ النَّظَرُ, so I can secretly look at his beautiful face. And it's reminisced over the days when he wasn't angry with me. The days that he was happy with me. فَإِذَا أَقْبَلْتُ عَلَى صَلَاتِ نَظَرَ إِلَيَّ. I would come to salah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look at me. وَإِذَا الْتَفَتْتُ نَحْوَهُ أَعْرَضَ عَنِّي. And then while he was looking at me, I would look back at him and he would turn his face away from me. حتى إذا طال ذلك علي من جفوة المسلمين May Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never turn his face away from us. Ameen. So Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that the people continue to turn their faces away from me. I can't imagine the pain of this man. I can't. I don't know what to say. Imagine how difficult it must have been for him to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looking at him, and when he looks back, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns away. And the person who was a symbol of mercy, kindness, and love was no longer saying salam to him. And every time I read the story, I ask myself that what if it's us on the Day of Judgment? And we come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we give salam to him, and he smiles, but the smile is of one who is angry because he knows of the shenanigans that happened after he was gone. And in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go forward to say salam to his ummah. And the malaika will say, O Messenger of Allah, stay away from these people. These were the people who changed your deen after you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, then keep them away from me, then keep them away from me. May Allah protect us and save us from ever experiencing this. I don't know if there's ever been a story that I've read in the seerah that must have been harder on the heart than this story for Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu. He says, I went to the people and I started saying salam to them, but no one would say salam to me. I went to Abu Qatada, who was my cousin, wa huwa ibn ammi wa ahabbu an-nas ilayya. He was the most beloved to me as well. He was my relative. Fasallamtu alayhi fa wallahi ma radda alayya salam. Even my cousin didn't say salam back to me. فَقُلْتُ يَا أَبَا قَتَادَ أَنْشُدُكَ بِاللَّهِ هَلْ تَعْلِمُنِي أُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ O Abu Qatada, I give you an oath by Allah. Don't you know I love Allah and Rasulullah? فَسَكَتَ He stayed quiet. فَعُدْتُ فَنَاشَدْتُهُ I repeated and I said it to him again. فَسَكَتَ He went quiet. فَعُدْتُ فَنَاشَدْتُهُ He said, I said it again and I made him take an oath that don't you know I love Allah and Rasulullah? فَقَالَ When I said to him that don't you know Allah, don't you know I love Allah and I love Rasulullah? فَقَالَ Abu Qatada then responded back to me. And in that moment he looked at me and said, اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ At this point all I can say is only Allah knows the answer to your question. فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَايَ كَعْبٍ بن مَالِكْ رضي الله عنه says, I started crying. Because now, even for me, I wasn't sure where I stood in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this laziness, this abandonment, leaving the Muslim ummah, even if it's one person, when the ummah needs you, is not a small thing. It's not something small, it's very big. And in particular when it's people that were close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone like Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu, one of the seniors. For him to stay behind. He says, I then left him. فَبَيْنَ أَنَا أَمْشِي I was in tears and I was crying in the market of Medina Munawwara after Abu Qatada said this to me. إِذْ نَبَطِيٌّ مِّن نَبْطِ أَهْلِ الشَّامِ One Shami Christian man showed up. He was in the markets of Medina Munawwara. مِمَّنْ قَدِمَ بِالطَّعَامِ يَبِيعُهُ بِالْمَدِينَةِ There was a Christian Nabati person who showed up to the markets of Medina, and I was walking with tears in my eyes, and this person walked in front of me. يَقُولُ مَنْ يَدُلُّنِي عَلَى كَعْبِ بْنِ مَالِكِ Who will take me to Ka'b ibn Malik? فتفق الناس يشيرون له إلي.
People started pointing at me that that's the man there.
حتى جاءني.
That man came to me.
فدفع إلي كتابا من ملك غسان.
He sent me a letter from the Ghassani leader. And the Ghassanis were the people who the Muslims marched against in Tabuk, who was a no-show. So the Ghassani king sent a letter. He says that كنت كاتبا, I was able to write and read, or read and write.
فقرأته,
so I opened the letter and I read it.
فإذا فيه,
inside that letter it said,
أما بعد, فإنه قد بلغنا أن صاحبك قد جفاك.
The news has reached us that your friend Muhammad has turned away from you.
ولم يجعلك الله بدار هوان ولا مضيعة فالحق منا نواسيك.
Leave him, come to us, we will be your brothers, we will take care of you.
فقلت حين قرأتها,
he said, when I read that letter, I said,
هذه أيضا من البلاء.
This letter is another test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فتيممت بها التنور.
I went to the pit, the fire pit. تيممت, I made intention to go towards the fire pit and I tossed that letter inside. I tossed it and I burnt it right away.
فسجرتها, I burnt it. فإذا مضت أربعون من الخميس.
He said, 40 days had passed by of the 50. And this was our state in Medina Munawwara.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then announced that inna Rasulullah, that he, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent someone to send me a message, to give me a message.
That person came to Ka'b ibn Malik and he narrates the message to him. He says,
inna Rasulullah ya'muruka an ta'tazila imra'atak.
The Prophet commands that you create a distance between yourself and your wife.
So he said, أُطَلِّقُهَا?
Do I divorce her? أَمَّاذَا أَفْعَلْ? Or what do I do? So the messenger said, لَا بَلْ اِعْتَزِلْهَا فَلَا تَقْرَبَنَّهَا. Don't divorce her, but you should not come close to her, meaning you should not be intimate with her.
وَأَرَسَلَ إِلَىٰ صَاحِبَيَّ بِمِثْلِ هَذَا.
So he sent the same message to the other two as well, that you should not be intimate with your spouses, stay away from them.
So then he says that, I said to my wife, إِلْحَقِي بِأَهْلِكِ فَكُونِي عِنْدَهُمْ حَتَّى يَقْضِي اللَّهُ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ.
I said to my wife, go to your family, stay there until my matter is sorted out, then we can be together again.
فَجَاءَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ هِلَالِ.
The wife of Hilal came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And she said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّ هِلَالَ ابْنَ أُمَيَّ شَيْخٌ ضَائِعٌ لَيْسَ لَهُ خَادِمٌ فَهَلْ تَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَخْدُمَهُ.
O Messenger of Allah, Hilal is an old man, he's weak, there's no one to serve him, do you still not want me to be with him?
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا وَلَكِنْ لَا يَقْرَبَنَّكْ.
No, you can stay with him, however, don't engage in any intimacy.
So, she says that, O Messenger of Allah, وَاللَّهِ مَا بِهِ مِنْ حَرَكَةٍ إِلَى شَيْءٍ.
That's not going to happen. Don't worry about the intimacy part.
وَاللَّهِ مَا زَالَ يَبْكِي مُنْذُ كَانَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ مَا كَانَ إِلَى يَوْمِهِ هَذَا.
She said, O Messenger of Allah, that's not happening, nothing to worry about. That man has been crying since the boycott started. And he's not doing anything. He has nothing else on his mind but tears and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So Ka'b ibn Malik says, some of my family members said to me, why don't you go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and present the same thing, that, you know, Messenger of Allah, can my wife stay with me too? So he said in return, لَا أَسْتَأْذِنُ فِيهَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I won't ask the Messenger of Allah for any permission. The reason is because, he said, I'm young and I can take care of myself. 50 days passed by. How many days? 50 days.
صليت صلاة الفجر صباح خمسين ليلة على ظهر بيت من بيوتنا.
There was a house within our neighborhood. I climbed the top of that house and I was praying my Fajr Salah there on the morning of the 50th.
فبين أنا جالس على الحال التي ذكره الله منا.
Because Allah says, ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت. That, you know, these people who stayed behind, وعلى الثلاثة الذين خلفوا حتى ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت. Allah says that, you know, these three people who stayed behind, the world became very
constrained and restricted on him, even though it's a very vast land. So he said, it was that state that I was in where my chest felt restricted. And I felt very lonely. And I felt, you know, abandoned in a sense, you know. And I was sitting there and I was in that moment and just making dua to Allah. قَدْ ضَاقَتْ عَلَيَّ نَفْسِي وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيَّ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ سَمِعْتُ صَوْتَ صَارِخٍ أَوْفَى عَلَى سَلْعٍ يَقُولُ بِأَعْلَى صَوْتِهِ يَا كَعَبُ بْنِ مَالِكَ أَبْشَرْ. He said, I was sitting there and then in a very, very loud sound, very loud voice, I heard someone say, O Ka'b ibn Malik, glad tidings, good news. He says, when I heard this, فَخَرَرْتُ سَاجِدًا, I went into sajda right away. وَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ فَرْجٌ, and I knew that this nightmare was over. فَآذَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ النَّاسِ بِتَوْبَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had announced to the people that Allah had forgiven us. And he says that فَذَهَبَ النَّاسِ يُبَشِّرُونَنَا, people started running in the streets of Medina Munawwara because no one enjoyed not talking to them. No one was having a blast here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself wasn't speaking to them, not because he was angry, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted a lesson to be conveyed to the ummah until the end of times. And that's why when Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu is sitting there during the boycott, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is peeking over and looking at him like a mother does when she's upset with her child. When the child doesn't know that the mother is looking, the mother peeks to check up if her child is doing okay. She tells her child, go to sleep. I'm not talking to you. But when the child lies down to go to sleep, the mother secretly comes and peeks to check how her little one is doing. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would secretly be looking at Ka'b ibn Malik and thinking of him because that heart had too much mercy. More mercy than a mother's heart could ever have. He says that when I heard this, فَجَاءَنِ الَّذِي سَمِعْتُ صَوْتَهُ, the one whose voice I heard, he came running to me. يُبَشِّرُنِي, came to give me glad tidings. نَزَعَتُ لَهُ ثَوْبَيَّ فَكَسَوْتُهُمَا إِيَّاهُ بِبَشَارَتِهِ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَمْلِكُ غَيْرَهُمَا يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاسْتَعَرْتُ ثَوْبَيْنِ فَلَبِسْتُهُمَا. He said, when that guy came, I had two garments off, I took them both off and I gave it to that guy out of joy. Because I wanted to give him something. He came with the best news. And Ka'b ibn Malik says, at that moment I had nothing else to wear because I didn't own anything. What he said is that I had to borrow garments from someone else in that moment. I put these garments on. وَانْطَلَقْتُ أَتَأَمَّمُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I walked, أَتَأَمَّم, to intend, تَأَمَّم. He said, I started walking with direction towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَتَلَقَّانِي النَّاسِ فَوْجًا فَوْجًا يُهَنِّئُونَنِي بِالتَّوْبَةِ. As I was walking towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone came rushing towards me, giving me glad tidings, embracing me, hugging me, and they said, Ka'b, it's over, Ka'b, it's over. It's all over. Allah has forgiven you. حتى دخلت المسجد فإذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس حوله الناس. I entered into the masjid and sitting in front of me was Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the companions were sitting around him. And in that moment I was just standing there looking at the Prophet. فقام طلحة بن عبيد الله يهرول. طلحة بن عبيد الله رضي الله عنه got up and he ran towards me. حتى صافحني وهنأني, he shook my hand and he embraced me. And he said, no one else from the Muhajirin stood up before him. And that was one thing that I would never forget in my life, that the first person to greet me in that masjid was طلحة بن عبيد الله. فقال كعب, كعب بن مالك says, فلما سلمت على رسول الله, I gave salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال وهو يبرق وجهه من السرور. This time that smile was back. That joy was back. My Prophet was back. His face was bright and it was shining with the joy that he always had. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أبشر بخير يوم مر عليك مذ ولدتك أمك. Enjoy this day, for it is the best day of your life since your mother gave birth to you. قلت أمن عندك يا رسول الله أم من عند الله. Is this forgiveness from you or is it from Allah? قال لا بل من عند الله. This is from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سر استنار وجهه حتى كأن وجهه قطعة قمر.
He says in that moment that I missed looking at the Prophet's happy face. And in that moment, I'll tell you what it looked like. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was happy, and it wasn't that anger happy, it was the real Muhammad happy. His face would glow as if it was a piece of the moon.
كَأَنَّ وَجْهَهُ قِطْعَةُ قَمْرٍ وَكُنَّا نَعْرِفُ ذَلِكَ مِنْهِ.
And we knew it, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't hide his beauty. He couldn't hide that beautiful smile from us.
فَلَمَّا جَلَسْتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ قلت يا رسول الله إن من توبتي أن أنخلع من مالي صدقة إلى الله وإلى رسوله.
O Messenger of Allah, I have made tawbah to Allah and I will give all of my wealth for the sake of Allah.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that moment says, أمسك عليك بعض مالك.
That no, don't give all of it away. Keep some of it. We want you to be happy. And then Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that, O Messenger of Allah,
إنما أنجاني بالصدق وَإِنَّ مِن تَوْبَتِي أَلَّا أُحَدِّثَ إِلَّا صِدْقًا مَا بَقِيت.
That today Allah forgave me because of my truthfulness, and I swear by Allah I will never lie in my life. I have paid the highest price for truth. And today I see your face at the end of it. I will never lie in my life, ever.
فَوَاللَّهِ مَا عَلِمْتُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَبْلَاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي صِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ مُنْذُ ذَكَرْتُ ذَلِكَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَحْسَنَ مِمَّا أَبْلَانِي اللَّهُ تَعَالَى.
No one was ever tested for speaking the truth like I did. What does he say? No one was ever tested for speaking the truth like I was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَاللَّهِ مَا تَعَمْتُ كِذْبَةً مُنْذُ قُلْتُ ذَلِكَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ هَذَا.
And now Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu is old and he's blind and his son is holding his hand, walking him through the streets. And he says to his son, that from that day until today, by Allah, I have never spoken a lie. I have been a man who was identified by his truths.
And he says, and maybe this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين.
Because that verse comes as a part of the verses of Surah Tawbah.
وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا وَرَحُبَتْ حَتَّى بَلَغَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ.
That be conscious of Allah and be with the truthful people. So it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the companions, be conscious of Allah and learn a lesson from Ka'b bin Malik. He could have lied, but he spoke the truth because he was conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he didn't lie. Learn the lesson from him. And it was a lesson to everyone. It was a lesson for the hypocrites who got away with lying, that speak the truth even if the price is high. It was a lesson for us of never abandoning the deen when needed, fulfilling your responsibility, that you know walking away when you are called is not something that's okay. You can't walk away from your responsibilities. It amazes me when I see fathers walking away from their children and stopping to support them once they go through a divorce. It amazes me. How can you walk away from your responsibility? That's your child. You have a responsibility for that. What kind of deadbeat person are you? And sometimes mothers walk away. They go through a divorce, they walk away, and they never come back and ask their child again. What kind of deadbeat human being are you? You don't walk away from your responsibilities. This is a lesson we learned from Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu's story. And then the value of truth, no matter what the outcome is. He says, I spoke the truth, Allah protected me. The munafiqun lied, Allah destroyed them all in the Quran. He says, Allah Azza wa Jal said, سَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَكُمْ إِذَا انْقَلَبْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لِتُعْرِضُ عَنْهُمْ فَأَعْرِضُ عَنْهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ رِجْسٌ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ. That those people who lied to you, they are rijs, they're impurity. وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ, and their abode is the fire of hell.
يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ لِتَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ.
They lied to you so you would be happy with them. فَإِنْ تَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ
فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ.
If you choose to be happy with them, O Messenger of Allah, or even if you've shown temporary happiness with them due to their lies, then know that Allah will never be happy with them because they have committed an open sin, an open crime. And this is the story of Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu. A very powerful story. I think there are so many reflections, but the one thing that I wanted to share with you guys is that when we read the story of Ka'b bin Malik, this is one of the very few times in the seerah you see a glimpse of what pain a person felt when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned away from him. And this is a dua you should make for as long as you live. That Ya Allah, don't allow the Prophet to turn away from me on the Day of Judgment. Because if he turns away from me, there's no hope. If Allah subhanahu, when we're going towards the Prophet, and if we are people who've committed crimes, Ya Allah, don't send the angels to inform him of our reality. Let us hide in the cloak, that invisibility cloak. And let our sins be hidden so we can come to him and he can continue to love us and embrace us. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with that smile of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the embracing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This incident of the boycott was no easy thing. There was no one in Medina Munawwara who enjoyed it. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded for it so the lesson would be taught. And I always think of what Sheikh Hashim said. He used to say, may Allah's mercy be upon our companions. What difficulties they had to go through so we could be educated. May Allah grant them all with a high maqam. And as they were companions of the Prophet in the dunya, may Allah give them his companionship in the highest gardens of paradise. You know, there's a story, right? That one time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid and there was a sahabi that was sitting there and he was sad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this companion, why are you sad? He said, O Messenger of Allah, do we really have to go to Jannah in the hereafter? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what kind of statement is this? Why don't you want to go to Jannah? He said, O Messenger of Allah, here in Medina Munawwara, we get to wake up every morning and see your beautiful face, enjoy your company. In Jannah, you're going to be up there with the high bothers and we're going to be somewhere else. I'd rather be in Medina instead of in Jannah, because here I have your companionship. So at that point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person will be with whom he loves. And capturing this emotion, there's an Urdu poet, he says something. I'll close tonight's discussion with this line of poetry. He says, Humne mana ke jannat bohot hai haseen, chhod kar hum Medina na jaye kahin. Yes, we accept. Paradise is very beautiful. Humne mana ke jannat bohot hai haseen. We accept. Paradise is extremely beautiful. Chhod kar hum Medina na jaye kahin. However, even then, I don't want to leave Medina. Kyunke jannat mein sab hai, Medina nahi, par jannat Medina mein maujood hai. Medina, Jannah has everything, but it doesn't have Medina. However, we have Medina sitting, we have Jannah sitting right in front of us here in Medina Munawwara. Kyunke jannat mein sab hai, Medina nahi, par jannat Medina mein maujood hai. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this gathering from us. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.